With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a wonderful Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. A little unusual circumstances as the clock has just hit 1 p.m. And yet suddenly, and I blame Tyler, suddenly strange reason, we're actually a little early, which never happened.
You should be starting at 1 every day.
Yeah.
Like on the dot at 1.
Why are you blaming Tyler? Isn't it all computer generated?
Normally, I look at that clock in here, and we are
That one up there on the wall is fast. You have to look over here on the screen. See, it's 101:20. That's the one you technically go by, not the one on the wall.
I have to end Charlie like as a hard break to 55. Start Stephen A. Smith.
That's right.
At 1 o'clock on the dot. So y'all should be starting one every day.
I wish Nick was here so he could give us guff about being late. Oh, wow. Imagine that. Nice of you to join us, Tyler. We appreciate it. Did you come up with an idea for Way Back Wednesday, Tyler?
Nope.
Really? Because neither did Nick. Okay.
This I thought y'all going. Came up with one yesterday.
Nope. We put it on him, and he didn't do it. This is going great.
Well, then I saw a text.
So it's Whoops Wednesday.
I got a text, but all it was, it says that it was between the three of us, but yeah. I didn't see you. Yeah. I guess you sent a message to him?
No, never responded to him.
Oh, did you? I thought you were sending him a reminder because there was no message from you, and all of a sudden there was three from Nick. Oops, my bad, or something like that, and I'm running late. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess we're not doing it.
I guess Vegas trumps the show. Is my takeaway. Vegas
and the Blitz.
The trip and the Blitz is more important than us.
Yep.
The show that includes him, that he is a part of. We are second fiddle to everything else in his life. That's how I feel. And I know he's listening, so he can go to hell.
In all
Is he here yet?
Marketing,
no, he's driving.
In all mentions of the show, his name is in
it.
The show.
In it.
Yep.
And then this is how we get treated. We get no Way Back Wednesday. He's late. He doesn't care about us. He's probably sleeping around with other shows. He's going to give us herpes because he's with other shows.
There'll be no contact.
No, after this? No.
I will gladly be the boy in the bubble if I can prevent the contact, if that's the case.
That's right.
So we're already a little behind schedule. I was late coming in here because Charlie grabbed me because he wanted to... In depth a little bit about what's going on with the Rockets, and you know, when Charlie speaks, I listen, and so I was a little caught up in it. I don't know why you guys think that's weird.
Because you're not nice to him.
I'm absolutely nice to him because he understands when I'm kidding with him.
Oh.
Because he does it to me a lot too, and he also does it on text messages, which you guys would surprise you. But he'll take more than occasional.
I don't believe that for one second. Charlie's the nicest person I've ever met in my whole life.
Now you're a liar. Because you know that's not true.
Is he not? I don't know him to be any other way but cordial, and I mean, we don't have in-depth conversations, but...
Does it change when you did what you did to him yesterday in the hallway and wanting him up top?
No, I was just giving him a high five.
You also messed up his show today.
No, not really.
He did? How?
I stunned him. He froze for a minute, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I was pretty impressed
with
that.
What happened?
I was in the control room talking to Tyler about a couple of different things, and Charlie mentioned Aggie basketball and who loves Aggie basketball, and I started... pointing at myself and jumping up and down, and he was stunned. He wanted to call me out, but he knows that he would break his own rule. Like, he never mentioned anybody else on his show, and he didn't want to do that. So he was like, he wanted to call me an idiot and probably a lot of other things. So he just froze for a second. It was like 3 seconds, 4 seconds of just him smiling and giggling, but not saying anything. So it was interesting.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Because normally he's not afraid to call people out on the air a little bit.
Is he not?
No, not
as far as live, like while it's happening live, but he'll make it a point to call people out for any number of transgressions.
Okay, how long have you worked with Charlie now, Tyler?
Since he started on 97.5. I don't remember whenever that was.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen him? Have you ever seen him angry?
Not angry. No, necessarily, but
not on the air. Off. Has he ever yelled at you?
No, he has not.
You can tell us. It's okay.
No,
he's not going to. We're not going to let the bad man hurt you.
While I've been engineering, I've seen him upset at how other producers run a show.
Oh, really?
I can honestly
say.
But
you don't get yelled at.
No.
That's good.
I've known Charlie for over 20 years. I've seen him passionate about a topic. I've never seen him angry.
That's what I was saying earlier. I just said there's not a mean bone in his body, and although, you said no.
Well, but no,
and now
first
you're
of all,
flipping.
No, I'm not flipping because I don't have to. Okay?
You're being
pick a lane, bro.
You're being a politician. You're playing. No, he's not mean he can get mean, but then you just said he's not mean.
I'm saying this. I have never personally seen him, but I have heard stories from others say he can either give you the deep freeze or he can get upset.
Now that I could see, he would shut you down like a woman. He just wouldn't talk to you anymore. I could totally see that. And I'm not suggesting he acts like a woman. I'm just saying, you know, we all have wives or girlfriends. They can stone you. They can freeze you out by not talking to you. And I could totally see Charlie doing that.
For sure.
I just don't think he would be like, you're an a-hole and I hate you. Charlie is too much of a high road guy. He always is going to take the high road and be professional. Oh, well, look who showed up. Yeah, he's always going to be professional, take the high road. I hate that about him. Oh, God, it makes me sick. It's like, come on, get down in the mud with us idiots for a minute, Charlie.
No, and
but he doesn't. He's a high road.
Here's the other thing, too. He's like the international man of mystery, right? Because
is he?
Well, you see him at the station, but you just don't know. Like, outside of work, he likes that. And even like when I've seen him at sporting events. It's like, we'll talk, we'll catch up in the media room, and I'll be like, hey, where are you sitting? And all of a sudden, he just goes quiet.
He doesn't want you to know.
Yeah, it's like secret, because it's not a media seat or something like that, or he's got like a hookup. And then we'll hit the concourse, and like he'll throw a question my way, and as I go to answer, I look, and I go, he's gone. He's up an escalator, and he's sneaking out. He's got people with suites. He's got a hook. He's got hookups, because he's been here a long time.
I would be willing to bet you that he's out there being player, and he's got some hottie. He don't want you knowing about.
I don't think it's the hottie. I think it's the seat.
Really?
Yeah, because like.
You don't think he wants you knowing just where he sits because he doesn't want you to come hang out or he just doesn't like you?
Well, like even at the Rockets game the other night.
He's embarrassed of his riches.
I don't know if you caught that or not, but he said, I had the angle because I was down there. And I'm like, so you got a corner, seat down right off the floor level?
Nick said it. Nick said he had the angle.
Yeah, no, he said it too on the air.
Oh, he did?
And I'm going, because most people, especially from our station, most people are going to be at the top of the first level or beyond.
Right.
And Charlie is lower level with pretty much bird's eye view of action that happened on one end of the floor.
Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah. Oh, he's big time. He's been in this market forever.
He has. He's a staple in Houston. Anytime I mention that I'm on the radio, and they go, oh, well, what are you doing? I say sports talk, and I'm like, Charlie Pelot. He's literally one of the first names that gets mentioned when I say what I do for a living. And, so he's very well respected.
Yeah, when I came to this town.
No one ever says Rich Lord. No one ever.
Well, that's where I was just going to go. When I came to this town, it wasn't about Charlie. Yeah, it was Rich and Charlie, and I forget what they called it, but it was Sports Beat or something like that. But it was two guys.
On Star 610.
When I got here, they were still on KTRH.
Oh, on 740?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
That was the rest small, also
was
in
that,
the mix.
Was that at night? That was like 7 to 10, right?
Yeah.
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 Damn.
Yeah, they did the big nighttime show at that point.
A long time ago.
And Russ Small was on the air and also the sports director.
The sports director.
So he was in charge of all the sports people. And, you know, at KTRH at that time, they had a big sports department because radio was a bigger deal. And they were the home of the Oilers.
Oh, that's right.
And the Rockets.
Crazy times. Yeah. Crazy times.
So times have changed. But that's why you always say don't burn bridges in this market in particular, because I know that the people that I worked with when I first got to this town
still here.
Were then at a competing station. And then when we went to that competing station, they were there. And then we went somewhere else, and eventually one of them came back there too. So, you know, in broadcasting in Houston has nine lives. Look at Barry Warner. I mean, he's like 11 lives in. He's actually the afterlife.
Is he?
Well, not anymore. But
yeah. Did he retire, or was everyone just like, nah?
I don't think they gave him a big enough press conference. And so I think he just decided that right now he's a free agent.
I like it. Well, hey, real quick, before we go, because I know we got to get to break in just a second, but I got to do this one plug. I won't mention it again today, I promise. But the podcast dropped. I dropped the first episode last night. It's called The 15. I interviewed Judson Lifley, who does The Evolution of Dance. Do you remember that video?
I do.
The Evolution of Dance?
And it was very, very entertaining.
Dude, when he dropped it, YouTube was 14 months old. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I didn't even realize that, but I started researching it. YouTube came out in like 2008, like February of 2005 is when they first launched, and he uploaded the video in 2006. And do you know that he was just uploading it for a friend?
No.
Someone had asked him about it, and he just uploaded it because they were like, hey, can you put it on your MySpace? And he couldn't figure out how to get it on his MySpace. So he's like, well, I found this new thing called YouTube, and I can just get the embed code from YouTube and paste it into MySpace. So he just threw it on YouTube, and the rest is 305 million views later. He had just posted the video for a couple of friends that wanted to, or not friends, but high school kids that wanted to reenact his.
I remember watching it multiple times. Yeah. I mean, it was entertaining.
305 million views at one point. Golly. 7 months in, it had, or 8 months in, it had. It already had like 70 million views. And for the longest, it was the most viewed video on YouTube. So he was kind enough to join me. It dropped yesterday. You can check it out. It should be up on Podcast Arena within the day or so. But you can also get it on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and all that. So go check it out.
So it's perfect. It's a Way Back Wednesday. Because way back when YouTube was in its infancy.
Yeah.
He became a big time star, and now you're going to have him on the podcast.
And he did great, so it's good. But I'm not gonna lie, I'm really excited. I also the next episode that I'm gonna release is at the end of the month, and I interviewed Andrew Meyer, who was the "Don't Tase Me, Bro" guy.
Yeah,
remember him?
Yeah,
when he was at the Carrie thing, that was a fun interview.
I was gonna say, how was he as an interview? Because he can be a celeb because of your 15 seconds of fame or whatever, but then you kind of also could be a bad interview.
That's kind of what I'm worried about, is some of these folks might be like, bleh.
Yeah.
Like AJ is reminding me of somebody that I totally forgot about, but he's the big neck guy. I was like, oh my God, like he just went viral. I need to get him. But yeah, so I worry about some of these folks being good or bad interviews, but Andrew Meyer, the "Don't Tase Me, Bro" guy, that was fun.
That's good.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, because you don't like the short answer, guys. Because if they're a big-time internet celebrity, brutal. And then you say, hey, man, how much did your life change? A lot.
And you're like, oh.
How so? Lots of ways.
You know, just stuff and things.
Lots of stuff happened. It was fun.
Yeah. Hey, guys, you know that Thrive Plus product I'm always telling you about? Thrive Plus. I've been talking about it for a while. We talked about using it at the party and when I go on the road. Same great product. Ringing in the new year with a new name. It's called Cheers. Cheers is a supplement designed to reduce the negative effects of alcohol on your body. Like when you and me and 60% of the rest of the country drinks, we feel bad the next day? Not with Cheers. Cheers is going to make you feel better. Now, look, I can tell you it works. And you've heard us talking about Cheers on this program, and we've taken it, and you've got listeners that have vouched for it. It works, man. And don't just take my word for it. This product was developed by 5 PhDs. The Cheers folks have Ivy League scientists on staff, and you might recall that it was on Shark Tank at one point. And it works. The way Cheers works is really easy. It gives your body and your liver exactly what it needs to process alcohol and the toxic byproducts that run through your liver. It's simple. You take 3 capsules of Cheer after your last alcoholic beverage or before you go to bed. So you just got to remember to take it. And if you don't feel 50% better the next day, the company will give you your money back. It's that simple. To order Cheers, go to cheershealth.com. 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 Order by 4 p.m. and it'll be on your doorstep because they're in Houston and you're in Houston. And that product will be there the very next day. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up and your liver's going to thank you for it. I don't drink without Cheers, and neither should you.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
25 lighters
on there. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride.
Thanks for joining us.
Nicholas?
No, I was talking to the people.
Sorry.
I was talking to the people, but yeah, it's... Thanks for joining us. Nick, I really was talking to Nick. Yeah,
I know.
The worst thing about me being tardy is it's always right after Barry has been late to a show.
Oh.
So then I can't talk for like, 2 minutes, and then I can start talking trash again, but...
No.
No, I bailed you out, though, just so you know. I had your back.
Did you? You had my back?
No. I had your back, because supposedly I'm not supposed to look at the actual clock that's on the wall in the studio, and I always look at that clock before I say, what up, H-Town? So I was here, but my headphones were not plugged in yet, and both of them start pointing at me like, go, go. And I'm like, why are we early? And they're like, no, we're not. You're just looking at the wrong clock. I'm like, well,
we're like the only radio station that calls other employees out when they're late. Because, like, in radio, being late is just so bad.
You're talking about online, on social media? Or are you talking about actually
on the air? Everything. I knew Barry was going to say something.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Most radio stations, the guy just jumps onto the mic, kind of like Barry did the other day.
What?
Yep. Oh, when the producer didn't throw him under the bus.
Nick, you don't think people aren't going to notice when it's Tyler talking instead of you?
I sound exactly like Tyler.
No. Like, oh, cat's out of the bag when Tyler's like, go ahead, guys. And you're like, that's not Nick's voice. What happened?
I just turned your mic on along with it
with both you guys. I go deep cover, and then one of you decides, nope, I can't pass this opportunity to just absolutely bust him right in the nuts, and I'm going at him.
The difference if I'm getting coffee and come in to the segment late is that you can start talking, and you guys can have a conversation. I can sit down. I can listen for 5 seconds, know where you're at, and fill it. And other than people watching on the video, nobody knows. But if Tyler starts talking in your place, or if, for example...
all I hear is excuses.
If Palillo came in and sat down to fill in for me until I get back and started talking, they're going to be like, why does Barry sound like he went back to puberty?
All I hear is excuses of you throwing your boy under the bus. What's up? Time out.
Let's just make something very, very clear. The circumstances would have to be dramatic.
He would never.
And drastic.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Nick and I would be all right.
Yeah, he would never.
That's not one of the options. Like, option B, plan B, option backup plan is not going to be Charlie filling in for you.
I'm more disappointed that you failed us on Way Back Wednesday. That's what I'm more disappointed
about. I totally forgot.
Like, it's like once you found out about Vegas, we became second fiddle.
I've been excited the whole week. I'm not going to. Right when Monday started, I've been excited.
You get to go with another show, with a more important show, with more important people, and now we're your side pieces. We're your side bitch.
I've told the Blitz, you guys are the Blitz, but we're the big show. I've said it multiple times.
Did you tell them that?
Not to his face.
No.
Not to his face.
Because that would go over well.
I left him typed out notes so he can't figure out
my handwriting.
I did it on Twitter. Did you?
That's the first step.
I feel like we got cast aside, Joel, this week.
Nick, look, the only thing I'll say is that, like what we were saying, I don't know if you're listening when you were on your way in, but we were like, you're in every bit of marketing and promotion.
Yeah.
What?
That is so not
true.
We've included you as part of the show.
Yeah, you are a staple of the show. Right?
Yeah.
And yet you go, well, they make me a part of the show, but I'm going to Vegas with the Blitz.
I want you to know guys. I lobbied hard to bring the suspects to Vegas, but they turned me down. They turned me down. But I said, Barry and Joel, it's imperative for these two to be in Vegas on Radio Row covering the fight because they know what they're doing, is what I said.
Well, you lied, which I appreciate.
Right.
Did it sound like I was lying?
Yeah, you totally made all that up. Mm-hmm. Not true.
Also lied that I'm like a boxing aficionado.
Did you and Patrick Creighton get into it last night?
No, why?
Because there's a text that says, did y'all hear Patrick Creighton railing on Nick last night? Pretty funny. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I missed. What was it? Do you know?
I know. Yeah, I made the mistake of getting on Twitter last night. This goes.
Is that
right...
why I had so many notifications on Twitter?
Probably because this goes back to what we were just saying. It does. It's not always, and it's something I've never understood. But when I came here to Gal Media, I realized very quickly and harshly in one case that the people on this station would rather fire shots at people at this station. On air, social media, that's otherwise. Yeah.
But why is Pete Crate picking on the suspects?
No, he wasn't the suspects. We're completely out of this month. But this is the deal. I found out that he got into it with Matt Peralt. And Matt Peralt got real personal with Pat and started firing shots at his picture, his physique, his face, different things. And all of a sudden, it was like, well, where's this fuse? Let me light this thing. And, oh, God, it just blew up in about 10 seconds.
Wait a minute.
I'm so lost. We went from Pete Crate talking about me to, I don't care about Peralt.
So Nick had nothing to do with it. This whole thing was centered around Pete Crate and Matt Peralt, and it just blew up.
First of all.
This is so random. This whole thing just got derailed.
First of all, I'm so surprised that Patrick Crayton would get into it with
anyone. Yeah, that's a shocker. Yeah.
On Twitter or call them out on the air. That has never happened before. So that's very shocking to hear. Second of all, we've had two texts now that said Pete Crate was calling Nick out specifically, had to have been on air. What you're talking about was a Twitter war because he called out Matt Peralt for a dumbass take.
Yeah, he started it on the air for a dumbass take. It then kind of...
Which the take was...
Brady's the biggest underdog of all time.
So I will agree. That's a dumbass take.
Stupid, right? Yeah.
But... I want to know what the deal was. So we're going to have to go and listen to this show now.
So there's,
I'm certainly not.
Wait, so there's a Nick element to this?
Yeah.
You're apparently. The one who brought it up.
No, I said, all I knew.
He wasn't listening.
I heard the.
He assumed Peralt was the beef that the texter was talking about. It was Nick. Huh. The texter said Nick. Pete Crate. Two people said Pete Crate called out Nick. We're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to find out. If you know what segment it was or about what time.
He gets to go on the Vegas trip with us, and now he's calling everybody. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You're traveling with him.
So we'll get the interns to listen to the podcast and find it, and then we'll find out what he said about you, Nick, and you'll get a chance to rebut, right? That's only fair.
Right, that's absolutely fair.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that at all. I just knew that the whole thing was both an on-air and a social media beef that went into the wee hours of the morning last night.
Yeah, I need to read the thread because Tyler was like, did you see this, bro?
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's so unlike him to get it.
Made you look like a librarian going to church 3 days a week. I mean, it really did.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
nice.
God, yeah. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. 1 hour, first hour of the show, half hour gone, but still plenty more to carry you through your day. So all you got to do is keep listening. And if you want to get in on this, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us up on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I see your dirty face.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! Halfway through hour number one, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 and 97.5 on the go. That means if you want to take us anywhere and everywhere and never miss a minute of the show, go to ESPN975.com, download the app, take us anywhere, everywhere. We always get reports from the Usual Suspects out there and about saying, I'm listening from this state, I'm listening here, listening there. Sometimes we don't need that information. If you're in the bathroom, we don't care. But otherwise, if you're in a different state or a different cut, we love that. It's great.
Absolutely. Very cool. Speaking of that, somebody said that they love the show, guys, cleaning out my car while I'm listening. So far, I've found like 80,000 Monopoly pieces, a Kansas City Royals hat, a Dallas Cowboys program, and a bunch of other garbage. Now, I don't know if that was a shot at the Dallas Cowboys program tying it in with other garbage or if that was just because they're missing a comma. The what do they call it? The I forget the name of the damn comma that it's called, but
colon, semicolon.
No. But it says, thanks for helping me through my monotonous task. I love you guys, TC. So I don't know if that is that that's is that Tracy Callie? Why would she?
First
have,
of all she's going to have in her car are like country club napkins and
yeah, that's well. I mean, I don't know why she would tops. Have a Royals hat and a Dallas Cowboys program, but
she's an LSU and Saints. Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, that's.
But no. We do, whoever TC was, we do appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Listening. Somebody said, Barry, I'm thinking about finding a comedy show in Houston Saturday. Any tips where to go? Not really. I mean, I haven't even looked at what the schedule is. So you can go to the Joke Joint, you can go to the Improv, you can go to the Secret Group.
But speaking of that, Barry,
and that might be big.
When's your next show?
I hate you. Can I just tell you how many times that happens when I see people?
Well, we've talked about it before on the show. It's like instead of just saying, hey, Barry, what's up? You get, hey, man, when's your next show? And then you know they're not going to go.
Yeah. I was really thinking about doing a sketch where it's just me and running into people for, you know, the first 3 minutes of the video. Just, hey, what's up, man? When's your next show? Cool. Hey, when's your next show? And then the last 20 seconds is me at a show and it just pans around and there's no one in the crowd. I'm thinking about shooting that. I think that would be a good sketch because that's real life.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Except now, I will say this. The suspects have been very supportive when I have big shows that I headline. Mm-hmm. But when you're like, oh, I'm at the you know, the Wheeze and Sneeze this Wednesday, no one shows up.
Scout Bar.
No. That one was pretty cool. The suspects did show up to Scout Bar. Not going to lie.
But, no, I mean, that's the thing, too, because I'll say this. Radu, great dude.
Uh-huh. Well, I wouldn't say great, but okay.
To hear his comedy...
Uh-huh.
Friday was awesome because you get a different side of him and you hear him on stage and he's funny.
We featured him before.
I don't remember the first time, but definitely this time. And then having him on for a segment was great.
Was he good? I was worried about that. I thought he was going to blow it. I was like, this kid is going to screw the pooch. No, Ryder's a professional. There's some people that are just funny people no matter what. And he's here when he's interning and learning the business. He's being professional, so he's not acting silly and goofy and all that. But if you're just hanging out with him, he's a very funny dude, and that translates on stage really easily. So, yeah, that doesn't surprise me that he killed it.
He absorbs and observes a lot, but he's the guy in a brainstorming meeting you want in the room. Because he's creative and he can come up with a lot of ideas.
He has helped, along with Nick, they helped me produce the first episode of the podcast. And
Radu, I'm the executive producer of the podcast, right? The executive producer.
I'm about to throw the penalty I'm not gonna flag,
get
by that, the way, too.
I'm not going to get no credit.
I mean, I gave you producer. You're on the website. I added you to the website.
That's not good enough. What about executive producer, considering
I'm the executive producer.
Training Radu to produce the show? That makes me
so
the executive
producer.
Right, so you're the producer.
He was the associate producer, but then I bumped him up to producer. Okay. So I'm executive producer.
Story of my life. Story of my career. Never getting credit where credit's due. Never.
I mean, Sympathy, man.
I mean, you could be the executive trainer. Trained him.
I'm throwing the flag, too.
Are you?
Yeah, because you said you were only going to mention the podcast in the first segment.
He can mention it as many times as you want, man.
Absolutely.
Did I?
I'm just giving him a hard time.
I was trying to think how that happened. Yeah, I guess I did
do
that.
Yeah, I'm going at a man at his own word.
That's my bad.
All right, so speaking of penalty flags in football.
By the way, have you listened to the podcast yet?
No. I just saw the tweet come out that the first one's out before we went on the air.
Uh-oh.
But breaking news out of college football. Shocking. I dare I say, not just surprised, I'm shocked. Jalen Hurts is leaving Alabama, and he's going to Oklahoma.
Happy for him.
Great for him. Great kid. Great opportunity. Eligible immediately, which we'll get to for other reasons. But at the same time, why Oklahoma?
I think that's a smart move.
They got another stud, top quarterback, five-star coming in.
Yeah.
So they've had two Heisman Trophy winners in a row.
Yeah.
Now they've got another big-time quarterback.
Okay, let me stop you real quick because you just said the reason he would go. They've had two Heisman Trophy winners in a row, which tells you something about that offense, that coaching staff, and that support system, and the fact that it's not unheard of to be able to win one from that college. Because remember, man, some of these places, it's about the publicity that you get or give and how you get your candidate recognized. And OU, for whatever they've done, I mean, obviously the stuff on the field speaks for itself, but don't think there's not a lot of marketing that goes in on that. You know that.
So, that's all fine and dandy, right?
There's a ton of reasons.
But let's
go
back to your Sesame Street days, okay? Which one of these things just doesn't belong here? You talk about two Heisman Trophy winners. Both of them had one thing in common that I don't think Jalen Hurts does. They can pass.
They're short?
They can pass.
Oh.
And they're kind of accurate when they pass.
Yeah, good point. I did see a tweet where somebody said, or they showed the fact that, oh, look at this. Baker Mayfield from Texas transferred to OU. wins the Heisman Trophy.
Texas Tech, right?
Well, but he was born in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Kyler Murray from Texas transfers to OU, wins the Heisman Trophy. Jalen Hurts from Texas transferred to OU. Probably not going to happen. See, but he's got a good shot.
I mean, I understand your point, but that's where I'm at with it.
He can run, and I don't think he's got a great arm. I think I don't even know that he would have a good arm. I mean, it might be average at best. Mm-hmm. But you don't know what Lincoln Riley and how he can coach him up. You don't know what the way that they might change that offense to suit his specific set of skills.
Well, if there's one guy, you're right, offensively, that can adapt the playbook to fit just about anybody, you would think that it's Lincoln Riley. I'm going to be interested to see, especially if they have more, you know, top shelf wide receivers that can fly and do a lot of things. And the passing game was obviously a big part of what they did with their last two quarterbacks. Easier for defensive coordinators if he can't do what those guys could do. At least, even if he's limited, he's got to be able to do some of the things that they were able to do in terms of moving the football for balance.
But look what he did at Bama, though, man. I mean, he brought them, when Tua went down, he brought them back.
Small doses, too, because you're planning all week for Tua, thinking you're probably not going to see Jalen Hurts. And then when he does, you're like, oh, God, he's gonna start running the ball a lot now.
That was a big game, though.
Yeah, it
was. That was a big game. That was a tough opponent.
But also, let's think about what happened on the flip side, when he was the guy that was going to lead you to another one, and then he crapped the bed, and Tua saved the day.
That was last year. Right, you're living in the past.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm just living in the full resume and body of work.
I mean, you're okay. Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, don't bring details into this conversation. Let's not pertinent facts.
I'm not suggesting that Hurts has the arm talent that either Murray or Baker Mayfield had. And, I mean, he might have the arm strength. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like it. I my memory sucks, but I definitely know he's not accurate.
I was gonna say,
nearly as accuracy would be more of a concern than arm strength for me.
I agree.
But that doesn't mean that he can't run a productive offense. That's not what that means at all.
Here's why I'm shocked.
Peyton Manning didn't have a strong arm.
Well, at the end of his career, he did, until he had the neck issues and all those other things.
Lamar Jackson wasn't an accurate quarterback.
True.
So you can make this work.
Well, and it's only a one-year deal. I get that. But here's the thing to me. I'm saying it's a one. I'm using deal slang as it's only a one-year venture.
Right.
But here's the thing. To me, there were other schools out there that were a better fit. I know that, you know, Missouri has had a reputation for really taking quarterbacks and making them into pro prospects. That's one thing. But the other thing that I said all along was, as you mentioned, Texas kid right outside Houston. Kid's got ties to the state of Texas. Tom Herman, boy, if you could put a Jalen Hurts behind center and you could also get some more pub for your program, it's just a one-year proposition. You can run the ball and do the things he did when he was at U of H. I thought that was a pretty sweet fit.
Yeah, it would have made some sense, but I think they like who they got.
Okay.
I mean, you don't think Herman's happy with who he's got?
Old Sam can run, too, but I'm not sure about Sam passing the ball so accurately either.
So you're just replacing one guy with a set of problems with the guy with the same set of problems?
But Jalen's back pocket's full of a national championship and a little bit more experience.
But he wasn't on the field for either of them, if you think about it.
The first one he was.
Tua had to save the day.
No, Tua saved it in the second one.
In the second championship?
Yeah.
I thought it was this one, Tua, was basically there the whole time.
His freshman year,
the second half of last year's championship, Tua took
over. No, that one last year, but the one before that, he was the quarterback.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, so with that being said, Tyler wants to get in here on Jalen Hurts. Let's get Tyler in here and see what he's got to say. What's up, man?
What's up, fellas? How we doing? Long time no talk.
Yeah, Tyler, what's up, man? Good to hear from you.
Oh, man. Living the dream, bro. Living the dream. Hey, I wanted to call in. I'm a Longhorns fan. I didn't go there. I'm a T-shirt fan. You know, grew up a Longhorns fan my entire life. So I'm not an Oklahoma fan by any means. Mm-hmm. But I could see why Jalen Hurts went there. It gives him an opportunity not only to play, but to compete for a national championship. Now, in this case, say he would have gone to the SEC, say he would have gone to Auburn, say he would have gone to Mizzou, wherever it may be. I mean, that's the gauntlet, man. You know, you can lose any given week. But if he beats Texas, he beats TCU, and, of course, you know, the OSU maybe, you know, then he's right in the mix, you know, for the Big 12 championship and potentially even a Final Four appearance. I feel like that was his best place to go to potentially make a Final Four appearance. Like I mentioned before, I'm a Horns fan, and I didn't even think about him coming you know, Herman going after him, only because, you know, I'm confident in Ehlinger. But I was a little surprised that U of H didn't, you know, try to go after him a little bit harder because, you know, De'Aaron King will be out for a little bit next season. But, you know, I expected him to go to Oklahoma, but I feel like that's the best place to win, best coaching when it comes to Lincoln Riley and, you know, coaching him up. At this point, he might not be a NFL quarterback, but, you know, they said the same thing about Baker and Kyler Murray, you know. So I wanted to see what you guys thought about the system they have going down there and if he went down there just to potentially, you know, have a national championship Oklahoma, you know, Alabama Final Four national championship matchup.
Appreciate the call. Thanks, Tyler. Yeah. You know, it's some of what he says is true. But for those same reasons, that's why he didn't explore U of H, I'm guessing, or that's why he didn't choose U of H. You don't know the kind of run that they made at him. I'm sure that they lobbied, or if they're allowed to, or talked to him, or, hey, you know, consider us. But for those reasons, coaching, notoriety, national spotlight, yeah, ability to win. You can win the AAC, and that ain't the same thing.
No, and everybody.
You win the Big 12. If you win the Big 12, you're probably looking at a playoff berth, at least a you know, New Year's Six bowl game at the very least. So yeah, it makes a ton of sense for him to come to the Big 12. Not suggesting that it's easier, but what wouldn't have surprised me if he would have chosen a SEC team
to get back at him.
Exactly.
Right?
That, I mean, there's some places you could go in the SEC to make some waves and do some things. And a place that might have been a decent fit, and I'm not suggesting they would have because they're happy with Kellen Mond, but running a pro-style offense under Jimbo Fisher, who got a guy like Jameis Winston into the NFL.
But doesn't that tell you that worse? Maybe on the flip side, Jimbo said,
it could be. I mean, you don't know why. Like,
you
got
to pass the ball better to be
choose
in my system.
Yeah, it could be. You don't know why he was chosen or chose one school over the other and what the pitch was from each of those schools. I do think he leaned Big 12 or outside of the SEC because we all know the road goes through Bama and probably LSU.
It's the Brett Favre road, right? When the Packers got rid of him, he didn't want to go to the Jets. He always wanted to be in the division so he could get back at him. And I could see Jalen Hurts going that route too. The other interesting thing that we'll get to after the break is Oklahoma getting a transfer to come in and be eligible immediately. Oklahoma losing a transfer.
Being a-holes.
Maybe not being so generous on the other side of things. So we'll get to that when we come back from the break. And you guys, of course, can join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. Before we hit the break, I want to tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy. I just got another bill from Infuse Energy for the last month. And again, numbers way, way down in terms of the amount of money I pay per month. And over the course of the last year, I've saved over $1,000. It's been absolutely fantastic. And it's all because they care enough to talk to you and talk you through when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, and how they can help you get the best rate and the best deal possible. It's just how they do business. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. And bottom line is, they're not going to pull the wool over your eyes. They're 100% honest. Sometimes, in the rare occasion, another energy provider out there can beat their prices, they're going to let you know, because you'll remember that and you'll come back to them knowing, hey, they didn't try to screw me over or trick me. They actually were honest with me, and that's all you can ask for from anybody you're doing business with. So I encourage you either to log on to infuseenergy.com or to call 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732. You're going to get a real live human being on the phone. They'll ask you as many questions as you ask them. And as soon as you mention ESPN 97.5, right off the top, you're getting a $25 bill credit. It's just the way they do business. It's the way you want to do business in Houston with everything that you do. All you've got to do is take it from me, infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Still first hour, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always a pleasure having you along for the ride. Hopefully we can brighten your day a little bit on this gloomy Wednesday in the big city. Nicholas, you're getting out at the right time, by the way. Not sure if you saw this or not, but for the next 2 days, it may even hit 70. And then just in time for the weekend, highs in the 30s, lows in the 20s. So Lawn Boy.
Is that true?
Yep. So Lawn Boy,
uh-oh,
you may want to cover your plants and shrubs.
I don't do that.
You don't?
I don't.
Why?
I just don't. I've also seen 60 and 32, 52 and 35. So I'm seeing something different.
Well,
on the weather.com 10-day forecast.
Sheeta told me.
Told you directly.
Sheeta told me. Well, I didn't say directly. Sheeta told me this morning on KHOU that by the time the marathon, because the Houston Marathon is Sunday.
Yeah, they're going to be pissed. But that's going to be nipply. But that's the low, and the low will usually occur in the morning at 12:01.
I get that, but I also heard that.
Or no, actually, at right before sunup is the coldest.
I heard that, but I also heard that they said that the entire marathon, it's going to be not blistering per se, but by the time we hit the weekend, that the lows are going to be in the 20s.
See, I don't even see that on weather.com. They must not care about us in Houston, because the lowest low I see over the next 10 days is 32, and that's Saturday.
I'm just going with the cheetah doesn't lie. So
guess we'll find out.
Yeah, well, either way.
But yeah, somebody did text and say, they said, funniest show in Houston. Barry, should I cover my plants this weekend for the freeze? And shout out to Fart
Shirara. No, you should stop texting questions about it.
And indeed, the last part was shout out to Fart Shirara. Let me finish, sir.
I don't think that's going to change his mind or opinion, any.
I think he read it. That's why he cut me off.
No, like, I didn't read
oh,
it.
Oh, you didn't?
No, honestly, I haven't been in the text line yet.
I thought you were like, you're not reading
that's
the last
Joel,
part.
If anybody's reading it.
Yeah.
I didn't read
it. Or Patrick Creighton, one of the two.
Yeah, I haven't read anything on the text line.
Yeah, that might be true. I don't cover my plants. And I should, because you can lose them. I'll just replant them.
Yeah, I just put some in about a month or so ago, and I got a feeling I may lose a couple.
You know who needs to cover the plants?
Nicholas?
Yeah.
You think so?
Do you remember your issues with the HOA?
But that had more to do with the lack of water, remember?
No, it's because it froze and it all died off, and then it came back, because it usually when it dies off, it'll die off to the root. And then
fair, but I would literally
back.
Be the old, I don't know why we're talking about this, I would either. Literally be the one person on the street covering my shrubs.
Well, because nobody
that
else
sounded
does.
So bad too.
Yeah,
but,
it did. Yeah. Isolate that, will you please?
Yeah,
but,
sure.
But I'm just saying, this is a time that you're probably going to want to do okay, it and if you don't want another run-in with your HOA.
That's the end of the lawn care segment.
And Nick, no. you should be doing. Trained to cover your low-hanging fruit, if you know what I mean. Best when in doubt to wrap the low-hanging fruit, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. All right. So we'll get back to this Jalen Hurts discussion, and obviously people are lining up. They want to talk about it as well. But the flip side of the story that I teased before the break is very interesting, because as Alabama looks to lock down Jalen Hurts now, OU is also blocking their former quarterback, Austin Kendall, from becoming immediately eligible at West Virginia as a grad transfer on the same type deal as Jalen Hurts. It's dirty.
So the question is, on the surface, it looks like a complete a-hole move.
Complete.
Doesn't it? Mm-hmm. What I want to know is, what are the circumstances around it?
I'm going to tell you exactly what the caveat to the whole thing that they're going to say is. It's because it's a team within their conference. It's because it's West Virginia. It's because of exactly what we were talking about with Jalen Hurts, if you would have taken it in an SEC school, because this has come up with Saban in the past as well. And this is one of those sticklers with certain coaches that sticks in their craw and they don't like it.
They don't
this
want
came
to go somewhere else.
Up in basketball with a kid from Wisconsin that was from Iowa, wanted to transfer to Iowa or Minnesota, and they went nuts and it got ugly and Wisconsin looked like absolute dog crap. And this is exactly what these things that drive coaches nuts are.
But didn't Baker Mayfield transfer from Tech?
Yep.
Wouldn't that be?
It would be, but again, what I'm saying is it depends on the coach. Saban doesn't like it.
And he went there without a scholarship.
So, yeah, well, that also may be part of it too. Like not coming in as a five-star that's not getting playing time and you worry about he can beat me somewhere else. Maybe he came in as a walk-on and basically they're thinking, oh, he ain't going to beat us anywhere else either.
Right.
But, yeah, that's one of the biggest sticking points for all major coaches. A lot of them are. They don't want to see a guy come back and bite him in the ass.
Kyler Murray. Well, that A&M was gone. Right, I'm thinking yeah. A&M. I'm still putting A&M in the Big 12. I don't know if that's
take
I,
your boy.
I still have him in the Southwest Conference. I'd be lying if I said I did.
But take your guy, the other kid from A&M that went to U of H. I mean, he could have transferred anywhere in the state. And people Kyle Allen. Yeah. But then he makes an NFL roster, and late in the season, he throws for 200 some yards for the Panthers.
Right.
Talk about a late bloomer.
But so on the surface, I think the OU thing does look bad. And then I do think by trying to block it, if it's because it's the intra-conference, it's still a bad look. But I do kind of understand it. I'm just not saying I agree with it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I get why you did it. I get why they did it. Let the kid go. Are you that scared? I mean, you're getting a Bama recruit. You're getting a guy in. What are you scared of?
The biggest thing you're scared of is exactly what I'm saying, that the guy's going to come back and bite you in the ass, and the fan base. You know, these guys, every major coach, no matter how successful your program is on the Division I level and how big a program you have, they're always looking over their shoulder, and they know they're one losing season or a couple mishaps away from being put under the microscope, grilled, and possibly on the hot seat. That's what they're trying to avoid.
That's
here.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So, let's get Marcus in here before the break, Nick. He wants to get in here on Jalen Hurts before we turn the page. Marcus, what's up?
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, first thing, y'all got to bring back the dad joke button for Joel. This is, Joel, it's getting ridiculous, man. That last one was a bad, that was a dad joke, for real.
I'm glad you loved it, Marcus. I'm gonna work on more for you.
Rack him.
Take as long as you want, sir.
Nick.
Yeah, true. The point I wanted to make, though, about Jalen Hurts, a lot of people talking about his ability to throw the ball. It's not like when you go to Oklahoma, just like with Kyler Murray, when he was coming from Texas A&M, people thought that he didn't have the ability to really throw in these tight windows and all. When you go and play for the Oklahoma offense, you see what they're throwing. They're throwing 5 yard out, 10 yard dig. They're throwing, you know, seam routes, quick hitters. They're doing stuff like that. And then the throws down the field are off of run-pass options where they're literally wide open. It's not like he has to have the ability to throw in a tight window like Trevor Lawrence or, you know, off the back shoulder throws and stuff. He just has to make the right read and throw the ball to the open person.
Okay, fair point. Look, Marcus, we appreciate the call. Look, I just know when you look at, especially as they got into the conference championship game and they got into their bowl game, whether it would be the tight end or their deep threats, that their burners, he threw a lot of deep balls. He threw them a lot, some of them into double coverage. He threw into the back end of the secondary. It's not all dink and dunk.
But okay, so one thing I had to look up just to validate, but I thought I had read that Neil Brown had gone to West Virginia to be their new coach of Troy. Yep. Neil Brown, head coach at Troy. Are you that worried about West Virginia and Neil Brown in his first year with Dana Holgorsen recruits, some probably leaving, some probably transferring to U of H to go play with the coach that they picked? Are you that scared of West Virginia in year one as OU, two-time Heisman Trophy winner, back-to-back, I'm Lincoln Riley, we're big badass OU? Yep. You're that scared that you would block a kid from going out there?
Because exactly what you said. I'm big badass Lincoln Riley. I was in the Final Four the last 2 years. I had two Heisman Trophy winners. And God forbid if I go up against West Virginia with a new first-year coach and they beat my ass with a guy that was in my program.
If you do that out of fear, you're doomed to fail.
But you know they just
don't
trust. You
really are. You're doomed to fail.
But like I said, their head's on a swivel. They don't trust anyone because they know how quickly it can change.
Man, you could be right.
So, all right, Brad, hang in there. We see you want to get in on this Hurts discussion. We'll get you in after the break. Hour number one is in the books. That doesn't mean a thing because we got 2 hours to go and plenty more of the show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink. Go to culturemap.com.